T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Thank you for spending this beautiful Monday afternoon with us. Here's what I want to do. You know, look, we've got every line lit up right now, and we've got a hot topic going on. But yesterday was a very significant day in terms of pop culture in America, and I want to talk about that. So to try to get as many people in as we can in this first segment, let's just do kind of like a lightning round where just, you know, get to your point as quickly as you can, because I want you to be able to say what you want to say. But let me just move through as many people as I can. And then when we come out of the first break, we'll start talking about what this day means and why I believe. And I don't hear a lot of people talking about this, and some of you may have heard me talk about this before. But I believe that yesterday was the day the seed was planted that the anti-establishment rock generation of the 60s grew out of, the baby boomers. And they're now the establishment. And they were so rebellious and anti-establishment back in the 60s. And what happened yesterday, the assassination of President Kennedy, I think was the beginning of that. I'll explain, and you can share your thoughts as a baby boomer. And if you're a Gen X or millennial, you know, what marked a change for you? Because grunge music was a signal that there was a whole new shift coming, and then there have been other shifts as well. So we'll talk about generations and we'll talk about pop culture after this first break. But let me just get to as many calls as we can. So just be brief so we can get to as many people as we can. Let's go to Metairie and Eric. You're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Basically, what the Republican establishment is saying, that's kissing his boot, that won't concede, is if you look at where the votes in question came in after election night, mail-in ballots, is you can't trust black people. Because the votes that were not counted yet was Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Georgia. It's called coded language. So they know exactly what they're doing, and it's passive-aggressive.
All right, Eric, I appreciate that comment. Let's go to New Orleans. And, Richard, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoob, my brother, long time, no hear, no talk, no say. But I want to say this. No, you're not mad with Dave from Slidell. I am. I'm a black man. I think it's preposterous for Dave to get on and display his ignorance. This is Richard, R-A-S-H-A-D, David, if you're listening. This is for you. You are a disgrace. To say you a black man that voted for a racist, that voted for someone who don't care about America, you got people that's out here struggling, and they playing politics with people lives. I don't know where you stand on the spectrum, but Dave, let me tell you this, my brother. I'm an ex-convict. I'm a homeowner now, though. 15 years incarceration. But now I'm about what's doing right. And what's doing right is standing up. When you see something wrong, man, you got to say what's wrong. Stop playing this identity politics when it comes down to people alive. People are dying with COVID out here. You know, people don't want to mask up. You got so much important things out here and things that you are voting. If you got the right to vote for, who you want to vote for? I applaud 1,000,000% if you voted.
And Richard, what I thought was really wrong was you know, I'm not going to allow somebody to come on the show and pretend to speak for all black people, because that was absurd.
Yeah, can't speak for me. Yeah, he can't speak for me, and I just, you know what I'm saying, want to expound, you know, a little bit more on just the fact that people got to stop and get off playing this way ignorance of voting against themselves. Here you got a person that's trying to disenfranchise votes. that's coming everywhere he's tried to challenge the votes is all in black communities. And this idiot gets on there and talking about he voted for Trump, which I doubt he did. He just
well, no, he might have. Rashard, as always, I appreciate the call, but we're kind of in a lightning round now, so I'm going to move on to Jason in Shreveport. Jason, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, how are you?
I'm good.
All right, man. So just today I've been listening to a lot of talk radio. We're moving from Shreveport to Florida this week because we're looking for a better opportunity.
Okay, good. Hope you find
it. Racist, Hitler, a cult member, just because we voted for Trump. And I look at division in our country, and I don't see it coming from the right at all. I mean, we're what we call liberal conservatives. We just leave us alone. We just want to work. Leave us alone. We don't care if you're gay or black or green or what. I mean, just quit taking our liberty away from us and let us provide for our own families. That's all we really want as far as Trump. I mean, I think the man really does love America, and not just himself. I mean, he was worth $8 billion when he took office. He's worth about half that now. Hasn't taken a salary. At record low minority unemployment, record low unemployment across the board. The strongest economy we've had in a long time. Even with COVID, our economy's still not awful. It is for food industry and musicians, which I love musicians. I am one. But, you know, our economy's strong. I don't understand. And the other thing on the process, I mean, there's nothing in the Constitution that requires Trump to concede. Concede, he could have done that before the election. He could have just resigned. That's the same thing. You know, there's a process. Let it play out. If he concedes, the process is over. So if Biden's president in January 20th, then Biden's president.
All right,
you know,
Jason.
Trump exhausts all of his options and he's no longer president, then he'll leave. It's that simple.
I appreciate you. Appreciate you listening to our show. And remember, no matter where you live, you can pick us up on radio.com. Just type in WWL and you've got our show wherever you've got your phone. I'm glad you called. I don't know about how many liberties have been taken away. I mean, you're free to move from Shreveport to Florida, so it sounds like you've got a lot of liberty there. From the West Bank, Jeremy, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot. How you doing?
I'm good.
So, two things real quick and I'm gone.
Okay.
I got a nickname for, Mr. Taysom Hill, the Mormon missile.
Like it. I mean, was he impressive?
Yeah, he's ridiculous. I've been waiting for this chance to see what he's got. Been listening to all the boys, Mr. Court, all them talk about how he has grown as a thrower, accuracy, everything over the last 3 years.
Yeah, he sure has.
Anything more about the guy either. He's also a pretty nice human being to boot.
Very nice human being, yeah.
And then another thing is, everybody, please wear a mask. That's it. Yeah. That's all I've got.
Jeremy, I appreciate the call. Let's go to Abita Springs. Connor, you're on WWL.
Yes, sir. How you doing today?
I'm good.
All right. So I wanted to touch on two things. Number one, everybody's getting on Trump. Why hasn't he transitioned? The transition should have started immediately. Well, about 5 weeks ago, I was watching, you know, an in-depth thing about Ukraine and Biden and their presidency and the transition. And he released a statement and a phone call saying that he purposely did not start the transition and withheld information because he did not trust Trump's cabinet and the people that he selected, just because he didn't trust them, not because they didn't have clearance. They had their clearance. So, you know, 4 years ago, they were holding it back, but now they're complaining because Trump's doing it. And as far
I'll have to look into it because I don't remember that. I don't remember that happening, but I'll look into it.
I will text you. I'll text you the source when I
Connor, don't. I can't pick up anything from text. I can't pick up anything from text. So email it to me, scoot@wwl.com. Scoot@wwl.com.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I've got it.
Okay.
Other thing I wanted to say is, you know, as far as everybody, you know, the Trump, I thought that it was strange that on the night of the election, you know, midnight rolls around, I forget what time it was, one, two, three, four, five red states, they all say they're going to stop counting within 5 or 10 minutes of each other, okay? Then we wake up the next day, and two or three of them had flipped. I thought that was very, very strange, you know, and I'm sure a lot of other people did. And then all
well, Connor, we've talked about that at length. I've given many explanations for exactly why all that happened, and I don't think there's any reason to be suspicious, but I'm glad you had a chance to express your opinion. Let's go to Metairie. Mark, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot. I am just confused with how the stupids have taken over, especially when it comes to David comparing a radio station host. And no offense to any radio station host. But comparing a radio station host to the President of the United States, that's two different jobs to say well, he just doesn't want to lose his job. He's lost his job. We voted him out. It is what it is. And all these people calling in talking about he let him concede in time when Hillary Clinton lost and I voted for her. They wanted her to concede in that moment, and she conceded the next day, but they were calling for her to concede that night. So I'm just confused with all of that. And the biggest thing, I didn't know y'all took surveys when you call in to find out who's black and who's not for David to say you're just mad because he's black. I don't remember you asking him what his color was in the first place.
That's
just confusing. So crazy, Mark, but that's all I wanted to say.
You said plenty. I appreciate the call. Glad you're one of our afternoon listeners here on WWL. All right, so I want to talk about what happened yesterday. Yesterday was the day that John F. Kennedy was assassinated in 1963. And that was the moment, and I've thought about this a lot, studying pop culture throughout my career and life, paying attention to music and how it reflects society. I came to this conclusion that the beginning of the baby boomer generation, the anti-establishment rebellious generation of the 60s, started yesterday. And I'll explain more when we come back, and you can share your thoughts and feelings about this as well. This was the number one song in 1963. And so this hour, I'm going to play some of the top songs, songs that were at one point were number one in 1963, and think about how music changed with the Beatles in 1964, early 1964. So we'll give you a sense of 1963 and think about how things changed. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. On this day, November 23rd, 1963, this was the number one song in the country, Dale and Grace, I'm Leaving It Up to You. This is the kind of music that we were listening to in 1963. Think about how much music changed a few months later. 3 months after John F. Kennedy was assassinated, the Beatles arrived in America. The Beatles didn't create, in my opinion, from my view, the Beatles didn't create the anti-establishment generation. The Beatles came along at a time when a young generation was subconsciously distrusting of the establishment. And when you think about, even though, you know, when you're young, you don't think that much about the President of the United States, we saw how our parents reacted. We knew what happened, even though we were young. We knew something really bad had happened. And if the President of the United States can be killed in public just like that, I think that was the seed that was planted that the anti-establishment generation grew from. It was subconscious in our minds. And I think back on my life back then, and I think, you know, there was a lot of sudden distrust in the establishment for something like this to happen. And so the Beatles came along with a new style of music, with unique hairstyles, fashion. And not long after the Beatles, you know, the Stones and the Animals and Herman's Hermits and the whole British invasion became the music of an anti-establishment generation, a generation that was rebelling against the establishment. And while every young generation has a tendency to rebel against the establishment at the time, there was great need to rebel against the establishment. And so I believe that yesterday was the day that the baby boomer generation was actually born. I mean, not the baby boomer generation, but the anti-establishment, rebellious, sex, drug, and rock and roll generation of the 1960s. And interestingly, that generation is now the establishment. But 3 months after Kennedy was shot, the Beatles arrived here, and suddenly there was this instant adoption of this whole new style of music. And it was reflective of a generation that wanted to show how they were different from the establishment. I think grunge music formed the same purpose in the early to mid-90s. There was a generation, children of the baby boomer generation. They were disenchanted with their parents' generation. And they rebelled. And suddenly the music was different. In fact, if you think about it, music was basically, rock music, popular music was basically built on everything that the Beatles had done. Everything from the Beatles on to, from the British Invasion, the Beatles, up to grunge music. So much was just kind of based on the same theory of music. Grunge changed that. Nirvana, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden. Bands that, you know, it's almost as if they had a monitor on their guitars to let them know if they got too close to a melody. I mean, it was like totally different. And think about the fashion, the flannel, the Doc Martens, the hair, the color. That was truly the next big break from the establishment. So if you want to join us with your comment this afternoon, I think it's interesting to study pop culture and to talk about how music does reflect our society and does reflect us at different times. The Hoodat Lending.com talk and text line is 504-260-1870. It's 504-260-1870. And you can send me an email, scoot@wwl.com. I don't think it was a coincidence that the Beatles just suddenly exploded after 3 months after the assassination of Kennedy. And then think about the top songs. I mean, at one point, the Beatles held the top five positions. I don't think that's ever been done before. The top five positions on the Billboard Hot 100 chart were occupied by Beatles songs. And they had a few more in the top 100. I mean, that was unprecedented. But can you think about, if you're a baby boomer, can you think about that time when you felt excited about rebelling against the establishment? Can you think about some of the early things that you said, some of the early things that you did, some of the music that you liked that your parents hated? And it was your way of saying, we're different. We are different from you. And while every generation has the responsibility of being different from the establishment, there have been some just landmark moments. And I think the 60s anti-establishment generation, the grunge movement of the early and mid-90s, I think those were great examples of just huge flashpoints in time when generations made a very, very strong statement about saying, we're different. We don't want to be anything like you. And I'll tell you right now, Zoomers and Millennials, they're rebelling against the baby boomers. Not only in terms of things that they like, and not only in terms of pop culture stuff, but in terms of politics. They have great contempt for baby boomers. Again, if you want to join us, the hoodatlending.com talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And is it Rosie in Slidell? Rosie, you're on WWL.
Hi. First of all, I want to say thank you. It's very good to listen to you. We moved from Mississippi, so being in Louisiana, it's very good to listen to an independent radio station. You were talking about pop culture and you know, with JFK and everything that happened with music and the change. I think when we were able to see everything on TV and everything on television mm-hmm. happening in real time, that really was what changed generationally for everyone as far as young people and activism and getting more involved. And it really, even now when you see everything in real time and social media, it's even more in real time than it is on or was on television, that it's a really big deal as far as people learning from pop culture and things that have happened in the past. And I think
It's all instant now. But, you know, but Rosie, back in 1963, you know, I don't recall JFK being on TV. I don't recall live coverage of that when he was shot. I do remember the man accused of shooting him, Lee Harvey Oswald, was live on television, shot by Jack Ruby in Dallas, leaving a jail or a courthouse or something. I know that was live. But even if it wasn't live, we still knew right away what had happened. And the idea that this had happened during a parade in Dallas in public, I think it planted a seed of distrust for an entire young generation that they could no longer trust the establishment because they didn't have the security of even protecting the president.
Do you think that happened more? I know. I mean, I'm an '80s child, so I only know from history lessons. But do you think that more of that started to happen, the distrust when everything came out about censorship with the news that was coming out of Vietnam and how the government was censoring what they were allowed to say and that kind of stuff?
That came after. You know, in 1963, the Vietnam War, it was never a war. It was always technically a police action. But it certainly looked and acted like a war. But that really didn't, that information didn't start to come out until mid to late 60s. So this, I mean, but the anti-establishment generation certainly grabbed onto that. And that was part of their evidence that we don't trust you. Are you still with us, Rosie?
Are you there?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I am.
Yeah. So they picked up on those things, and that's what, you know, their attitude about not trusting the establishment led them to revolt against all of that stuff. And that was just new evidence for that young generation that they couldn't trust the establishment or they couldn't trust the government.
Do you think that's more also now with the big move on social media with the baby boomer generation from Facebook to that Parler app, do you think that a lot of that, because a lot of the complaints that I hear and see from people have to do with, oh, they're censoring me and they just want to cut it off. They don't trust the fact checkers, basically. Do you think that is the same generational feel of we don't trust them?
You know, I do. I do see some similarities, you know, and I saw parallels. They were different things, but the early 90s when, you know, you had the children of baby boomers coming of age, you know, what did baby boomers tell them by 1990, by the early 90s? It's like you can't have sex because of AIDS. You can't drink, you can't smoke, you can't do drugs. I mean, not that you should do any of these things, but I think the establishment painted such a negative picture of life that a young generation felt like, well, what the hell do we have to live for? I mean, you know, let's just, you know, I mean, there was a lot of angst and anger that was in that music that reflected that, you know, that generation. And the idea was to show that the other thing that occurs to me is that baby boomers turned divorce into a recreational sport. And so I think a young generation looked at baby boomers and thought, you know, what do we trust you? Why do we trust you? What do we have to live for? I mean, you're giving us this negative view of life. We can't do anything. You're getting divorced. We're in all these situations. And I think that that's what led to the adoption of the grunge sound, and then the reflection of that generation became part of the whole grunge movement.
I agree. I mean, I was a Nirvana fan. I was a grunge kid, so I understand. I agree with a lot of what you're saying as coming from a different generation, and a lot of what you said about marriage is very true because there are a lot of people in my generation that saw the divorce rate and went, well, why is it marriage?
And I contributed to that. I'm embarrassed about that.
But they don't have until later.
Yeah. Hey, Rosie, I enjoyed our conversation. I'm glad you're listening. And, you know, love 80s music, so that's always a big part of our show. Also from Slidell, Steve, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
How you doing today, Scoop?
Good.
I want to know what your thoughts on on the hip-hop culture and their movement with, you know, politics and stuff like that.
Well,
but
I think
it's... I say their involvement in politics.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's, you know... It's, in a way, it's like the protest songs from the 60s. You know, there were a lot of protest songs in the 60s. And so, you know, I mean, rock music really always has. I mean, there was politics discussed in, you know, in some grunge music. And there is even in music today. So, you know, that's part of that's part of hip hop. That's part of music reflecting society.
There was a group that they used to be out called Public Enemy, and they had a song called Fight the Power.
Yeah.
And that right there, yep. You know, it lets me know, well, it was a generation that was positive, and, you know, they were headstrong and stuff like that. It's nowadays, well, everything is more about, you know, your body and all of the crazy stuff, you know.
Yeah. No, I think that was significant, and I think that, you know, we're seeing. I mean, we've seen a lot of people recently, musicians, even some boomer musicians have started to do music, redo songs, and do new songs that reflect the pandemic and racial tension in America, and I see. Hip hop moving more in that direction. And then, you know, you have to respect hip hop and rap as being, you know, an American original, just kind of like jazz. You know, white people white people in America didn't invent rock and roll. Well, I mean, we invented rock and roll to some degree, but we didn't invent the rock of the 60s. You know, that came from Great Britain. But jazz, major black influence, hip hop, rap, major black influence, and those are two genres that were founded in America. So I just, you know, I never believed that rap music was the cause of any negative behavior. I think rap music simply reflected the behavior of a generation that was listening to it, and it didn't cause it. It reflected the reality of the symptoms of the problem, I guess.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I mean,
all right,
yeah,
Steve.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to move on. I appreciate your call, though. All right, if you want to join us, the whodatlending.com talk and text line, 504-260-1870. 1963, this was a huge, huge hit. It doesn't get any cheesier than this, really. Paul and Paula. Hey, Paula. But we were listening to this music in 1963 as baby boomers, not knowing what was coming 3 months from now. The Beatles would arrive in America. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. May I have this dance, please? I guess every generation has one of these songs, you know. For another generation, it was a Party in the USA, Miley Cyrus. Leslie Gore's My Party, one of the number one songs in the year 1963. Yesterday was the day that President Kennedy was assassinated, and I believe that was the day that the baby boomer generation, the anti-establishment generation, was born. From Slidell, Denise, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing?
I'm good, Denise.
I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, wait a minute. We got to give you the treatment here.
Thank you
for being an FTC.
Yeah, love it. How about that? I'm a Hoodat too. So what can I say?
That's cool.
Originally from Denver, but you know, I'm a transplant. But I just wanted to say, I remember I was 7 years old and my mom was watching As the World Turns when they broke in and President Kennedy was shot, and my mom started crying, and I'm like, well, and my sister was 3 years old, so we're both sitting there, and so we started crying. We, you know, not really knowing what the heck was going on.
And so, I mean, you felt, at that moment, you felt insecurity.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. I just, my mom talks about it today. In fact, we're going over it today, and she's, God bless her, she's 86. I'm so blessed to still have my mama. And
yeah.
She talks about how she remembers that day, and, you know, that he was only in office for 2 years, and you know, it's just like, wow. You know, I mean, I just I don't know.
It
I just want
you
to
know,
call and say that
parents, I'm glad you did. But the interesting thing is parents didn't talk to their kids back then the way parents talk to their kids today. And our parents didn't talk to us. And I guess they assumed that we really, oh, the kids don't know what's going on. We knew something had happened. We knew what was going on. We knew something very bad had happened. And I just, I think that planted the seed, like, you know, this was a generation that was just ripe to rebel against the establishment because of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. And I just, I love your show. I listen to you every day as much as I can. And I'm so sorry you can't spend the time with your son and your grandkids up there in Oregon for Thanksgiving. And
I appreciate you saying that. I just
just sing "Baby Shark, Shark, Shark."
Baby Shark, I know. I got to play that just to play it. Denise, I appreciate the call. Yeah, I was hoping to be in Portland right now doing the show from downtown Portland, but that didn't work out because I made the decision that with all the CDC warnings and with all the warnings that are out there about traveling, that it was best for me to make the decision not to travel. Let's go to Destrehan. Brian, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Scoot?
I'm good.
I'm calling, I got like a 19-year-old son. So the newer generation, they don't seem to be able to have an open mind. I find a lot of college kids to be one way. Like, they're not open-minded. They're not taught to see things in more than one direction, and they're expecting something without earning it. And I think it comes from the baby boomers and the other generation that came after them of really coddling or babying them. Because when I grew up, I played football with my older cousin. They're 5-6 years older than me. They beat the crap out of me and just ran me over and just kicked my butt. And I learned to lose. Yeah. And now we have where everybody gets a trophy. And they don't.
You know, I agree. And that's.
And they don't learn to lose. And look at what's going on now. I mean, you got to be pretty tough to survive these times. And I don't think the younger generation was prepared for this.
You know, maybe not.
Other generations have.
Maybe not. I mean, but also remember how much we were a generation. Baby boomers are a generation. Like, Brian, I appreciate the call. Baby boomers are a generation that you know, we always wanted to be right. We always thought we were right. We were the original me generation. And I think we passed a lot of that on because we're still the me generation. We just care about what's good for us right now. And baby boomers as a group can be jealous of millennials and a lot of other groups. I want to go to our senior studio producer, Ian Hoke, who is a millennial. Yeah. And you're kind of on the cusp of being a millennial. So. What do you remember about rebelling from your parents, from your generation perspective?
The first thing that I really think about in response to this question is remorse for the fact that, you know, the younger generations, millennials and the youths behind us, we never really had an opportunity to weaponize music in the way that your generation did. It's our sort of anti-establishment, countercultural vibes don't really come out through our music in the way that they did in previous generations. And we were kind of robbed of that opportunity because every time something new comes out, every time something authentic comes up from the grassroots, from the street, it's packaged and it's sold and it's commodified and you're selling it. And it never has a chance to come at the culture from the outside.
Well, a lot of people, not a lot of people, but I'm among those who believe that that Kurt Cobain, he had some health issues and was in a lot of pain, did a lot of drugs, in part because he was dealing with a lot of pain, had stomach abdominal issues. Mm-hmm. But Kurt Cobain, I felt like Kurt Cobain got to a point where he was becoming the success that he never wanted to become. He was commercially accepted, and suddenly Nirvana, this band that was this rebellious alternative to mass appeal, was suddenly part of mass appeal. And I think that was difficult for Kurt Cobain to reconcile.
I think that's exactly right. And you can imagine the crazy making that you would feel when your art that you are, and anyone who knows really anything beyond just like the packaging about Kurt Cobain, he was a poet. He was really like a Bob Dylan level wordsmith, genius, philosopher, and really smart, emotionally intelligent person. And then so for him to get a phone call, you know, hey, it's Kurt Loder. We want your opinion about this, or, you know, we want to put you on Good Morning America. Like, that would just make you really crazy. Yeah. And I think that's what happened to him.
Yeah. And with Kurt Cobain, you know, he really did speak to, and really that whole genre of grunge reflected the anger and the angst and the disappointment of a young generation that from the baby boomers were given a negative view of the future.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a response to what rock and roll had become and the disappointment in that. You know, rock and roll used to be this rebellious, authentic art form. And now, you know, it's hard to look at Dee Snider and what was happening in the late 80s and early 90s and say, yeah, that's authentic. Like, that's high art. Yeah. Give me a break.
Look, and I don't want to underestimate those of you who came of age during the 80s because, you know, there was some wild hair. There was some rebellion there as well. Here's another song that was at one point number one in 1963. All right. When we come back out of this break, we'll play one of the songs the Beatles played that first night they appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show 3 months from now. I'm Scoot on WWL. So we've been playing popular music from 1963, and now we're looking ahead to 1964, and this was the music that was adopted by a young generation that was looking to rebel against the establishment. So I think tomorrow, let's have a similar conversation about pop culture on the show tomorrow afternoon. So in the 3 o'clock hour tomorrow, we'll do early Beatles, early British Invasion music, and some of the protest songs of the 1960s. But again, if you're a millennial, if you're Gen Xer, if you're a Zoomer, you can be part of the conversation as well and talk about some of the things that you remember feeling about the establishment at the time you were starting to come of age. All right. Second guess is coming up with Bobby Hebert and Mike Dettillier. How about those Saints? Not too much to second guess on that game yesterday, but I know they're always looking to make it better. The defense, Taysom Hill. What impressed me most about Taysom Hill was the precise passing. There's a video on WWL Radio Facebook. You can check that out. It's also on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. And you can join me on Scoot on the Air Facebook and YouTube, and it's all an extension of this show. I want to thank our program director, Diane Newman, market manager, Kevin Cassidy, show producer, Jordan Fiegel, and our senior studio producer, Ian Hoke. Thank you for being part of the show. I'm Scoot. Back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Love you, New Orleans.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.